There's a lot many of us may not know about the process of making beer, and a lot we may not know about dairy farming as well. Many of us got a bit of an education recently when a connection between beer making and dairy farming came to light. It turns out grain used in the brewing process and no longer needed is often sent along to dairy farms as cattle feed. And there is a proposal for a new federal regulation that would change the transaction and change it enough to cost the beer makers more money. There's been a backlash from the beer industry and its supporters, and those include Oregon U.S. Senator Ron Wyden, Oregon's senior senator, who is in our studio with us here on the Jefferson Exchange today. Senator Wyden, welcome back to the Exchange.
Jeffrey, thanks for having me.
First of all, I'm a little surprised to find out that there even is such a thing as a craft brewers caucus in the Senate, and you're the co-chair of that.
I am with Senator Lisa Murkowski, the Republican senator from Alaska. And, Jeffrey, the reason why this has gotten to be a big issue is that this alliance between the farmers and the craft breweries is a big economic engine for the state. According to the Oregon Brewers Guild, we've got 200 brewing facilities employing 6,400 full and part-time workers. And you have a real supply chain, a real economic multiplier, and it starts with the growers who produce the hops and barley. Then you go to the welders who fabricate the fermenting tanks, to the farmers and ranchers whose cattle eat the spent grain. And when you add it all up, you're talking about something like $2.8 billion in direct and indirect economic impact.
$2.8 billion with a B?
That's correct. And here's, for me, the bottom line, Jeffrey. This is what happens when the federal government doesn't get out of the beltway and listen to people actually on the ground. You know, I'm not convinced somebody got up in the morning at the FDA and said, you know, let's really be rotten today to our farmers and to our craft, you know, breweries. I mean, everybody knows in the federal bureaucracy that occasionally something like that happens. But that's not what happened here. The reality here is the federal government said, oh, let's come up with these rules that are going to somehow protect public health, even though there's no evidence of a public health problem. And when I've been out talking to the farmers and talking to the people who run these craft breweries, nobody from the federal government got out to talk to them. I have not found any evidence that the federal government actually talked to them. Now, I'll just tell you, I don't know everything about beer, but I sure know when a federal agency has had one too many, and that sure seems to be the case here.
So I'm trying to understand the process, though, that the grain is used in the beer-making process, and then that spent grain is then sent along to dairy. I assume it's sold to them, right?
It can be sold. It can be given in a lot of instances. These are the same, you know, operations. And in effect, what you have here and why this is important to the Oregon economy is you have a new economic alliance, an alliance between one of our oldest industries, which of course is agriculture, and one of our newest craft breweries, and you have the federal government basically not keeping up with the times. And what's happened, so listeners know exactly, is over the years, a lot of our breweries have sold or given a byproduct of the brewing process known as spent grains to farmers and ranchers for livestock feed and other uses. I actually held up a bowl of this at one of it. It kind of looks like a bowl of granola. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you didn't know, you'd say, hey, somebody pass the honey. Let's have some honey with our granola. Now, what's happened is the U.S. Food and Drug Administration want brewers to handle these spent grains now in a different way that's going to be costly and onerous. What they want to do is force the farmers to comply with food safety standards, including identifying potential food safety hazards, estimating how likely the hazards are to occur, predicting how severe the effects would be, identifying and implementing preventive controls, monitoring spent grains for any hazards, and developing a written recall plan. So as you can see, for something where there is no documented evidence of a problem, complying with all of that razzmatazz is going to be costly for brewers and farmers. It's going to drive many of them to stop the practice. And then the farmers that have to spend extra money on animal food and the brewers that have to figure out how to pick up the tab for disposal fees, sending all this stuff to landfills.
It sounds like the interpretation here is being made in food safety in an almost human context, where obviously you want the FDA involved in that sort of thing and making sure the food supply for humans is safe. But this is not food that goes to humans, right?
That's correct. And the point is, I'm sure that there is somebody out there who's going to argue that the effects on animals and the ramifications there in some way can affect people. What I did at the outset of this, I kept coming back to the question is, does anybody here have any evidence that this is causing a health problem? And there is no, you know, evidence. If there is, the government ought to produce it. And so what Senator Murkowski, she's a Republican senator from Alaska, and I have urged in a letter to the Food and Drug Administration, staff, of course, have been following up as well, is we've said you ought to reconsider this and you ought to start by getting out on the ground and listening to people who are affected. And I really do want to come back to that, because if you're going to do this kind of policy making right, it's why I've had 703 town hall meetings. You know, I just finished up my 700th in Fossil. You've got to get out and listen to people. You cannot just make policy by virtue of sitting in an office somewhere back in the Beltway and trying to guess what it really means for farmers and small business people and Oregonians. And that's why we put the effort into it. We're going to stay at it until we change policy.
Oregon Senator Ron Wyden is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about craft breweries in Oregon and potential new regulations on the spent grain that is sent off to be animal feed. You can join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area, in the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. First email here from a listener who wants to know, is this just meddling by animal feed producers like Purina trying to horn in on a market niche?
I don't see any evidence of that. I mean, we're going to have to go back and unpack some of the documents associated with the rulemaking. But I don't see any evidence of, at this point, of some special interest, powerful lobby trying to hotwire the process. I do, because I have been, every stop I've made, and I've been home for almost 10 days now, every stop I've made, we've had ag folks and small businesses and breweries and others, you know, come up. And I've asked, the question is, has anybody from the federal government talked to you about it? And so to me, Jeffrey, this is a textbook case of how flawed policymaking can be if the federal bureaucracy and these regulatory agencies don't get out from the Beltway. You know, I almost feel like we ought to have some kind of requirement that these federal agencies get out from the Beltway and actually, you know, talk to people. Now, I'm not going to propose, again, some rule or bureaucracy for doing that, but they better do it because it's just common sense.
Can we assume, though, that the FDA would not operate that differently from, say, the Forest Service or the BLM? They'd probably hold hearings before enacting any sort of rule like this. And it is a rule we're talking about, a regulation, a law, right?
We are. But to me, what you have to do, and I mean, it's kind of like what I do when we're talking about public lands issues in Southern Oregon, you know, where people feel very, very strongly about a whole host of issues. And of course, we were able to get some, you know, important, you know, protections in the last, you know, public lands bill. What I tell everybody, if you got a public lands kind of question, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to talk about it at community meetings. We're going to bring all the stakeholders together. We're going to listen to everybody. You don't just kind of jam stuff down people's throat. There is understandable frustration and skepticism about the federal government now. Nothing will feed that and will compound the problem more than the federal government just either turning a deaf ear or no ear at all to the question of how this affects people on the ground.
Any hesitation on your part, Senator, though, in raising an issue like this at a time when we just had that standoff in Nevada between the BLM and Cliven Bundy and his friends?
Just a minute. I can tell you, our farmers and our craft breweries are behaving very, very responsibly. This is not something where They didn't pay a charge or a fee or something like that. You're not going to be any snipers here.
All right, but the overall context was the context of the overbearing federal government, as a lot of people see.
I think these are dramatically, you know, different. In Nevada, you had an individual who didn't pay their bills. You know, it was just that, you know, that simple. I mean, obviously, there are whole questions about what the federal government's response was and the law enforcement presence and like that all, you know, has to be reviewed. But this is not anything, you know, like this. This is not a question where our farmers and our craft breweries are unwilling to pay their bills or something of that nature.
All right. So is the actual process about the spent grain would have to be delivered, it would have to be dried out before it's delivered now? Is that one of the major components?
Well, what we're talking about is what new rules would be. I mean, you know, historically, you know, what's happened is these craft breweries would either sell or give it to the farmers. And now we're talking about a new set of rules. And I walked you through just, you know, some of the requirements. I mean, that is a lot of bureaucratic morass to wade through if nobody has identified a problem. If somebody identifies a problem here, then I think you're going to see the Oregon Congressional Delegation, the Brewers Caucus, say, okay, now what we're going to do is what we do all the time. We do it on the ONC, you know, issue. I've done it on wildfire. Very exciting development recently, by the way, on wildfire. The president has endorsed the bill I have with Senator Mike Crapo. For the first time, we wouldn't raid the prevention, you know, fund in order to fight, you know, the fires. The big fires would be dealt with from the disaster, you know, fund, which will be really important for Southern Oregon. We'll be able to do much more in the way of preventive work and thinning and dealing with those overstock stands. So what we do when all those issues come up is we bring everybody together. It's not very flashy. It's not very sensationalistic. Doesn't make a lot of headlines, but it's the nuts and bolts of sensible policymaking. And the FDA did not do that here.
So was there a problem at some point? Was there a cow that was taken ill or some other incident that triggered this desire
I am waiting for that evidence to be produced. And if it is produced, you can be sure that we're going to kind of walk backward and see how and when is this a problem that can be repeated. Was that an isolated, you know, case? I mean, this is sort of, to me, right now. And that's why the listener called and said, is this big, powerful food company, you know, involved? Right now, this strikes me as a textbook case of what happens when the federal government is looking at rules and regulations without talking to anybody.
Does this affect just the craft brewers? I mean, are the Budweisers of the world left alone in this, or are they involved in this too?
Well, the craft, you know, brewers, of course, are the ones that are going to be most, affected. I'm going to be this morning at, you know, Caldera, and, you know, that's a small, you know, company. And in a lot of ways, the little guys are almost nano, you know, breweries. You know, the Caldera, you know, company goes through 20,000 pounds, you know, of grain a week. It's donated as well as traded to a pig farmer in exchange for pork that's served in the restaurant. 80% of the grain comes from the northern U.S. and Canada. The hops come from the Willamette Valley. And, you know, it opened the facility that I'm going to be in just, you know, a few years ago. So basically what you're talking about is the ramifications for small breweries are what I'm concerned about. The large brewers are also affected, and, you know, sometimes they even sell it. But, you know, the reality is the byproduct, the spent grain, often gets used as animal feed, and the farmers can come pick it up and haul the spent grains for free, and there are a variety of different arrangements. And in a lot of instances, you have one business, as I saw in the Valley, involved in almost all of it, you know, farming, brewing, you know, restaurants and the like. And so you've got Food and Drug Administration coming out at the end of 1913 with this proposed rule. And what I want to do and what my specific request is from Senator Murkowski and myself is to go back and, in effect, reconsider this, starting with talking to the people on the ground, the farmers, the small business people, and the people who are in the supply chain. And if there's any evidence of a problem, anybody who knows my record in public services, I don't trifle with health care, you know, serious health care, you know, problems. Then we get together, we get the stakeholders together, and we figure out how to deal with it.
U.S. Senator Ron Wyden from Oregon, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. You can join us at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. We have touched sort of obliquely on a couple of other resource issues here. I wanted to ask you specifically, though, about your proposed legislation for the ONC lands in Western Oregon that traditionally provided so much income for the counties and timber for mills as well.
One bit of good news for Southern Oregon County. Just in the last few days, the checks have gone out under the Secure Rural Schools Law that I wrote in 2000 so that the counties in Southern Oregon for another year would have funds for schools and roads and, you know, police. Oregon's share under that law that I wrote, Jeffrey, back in 2000 has been just over $2.5 billion from the standpoint of a law. That's been the most important law that I've written in terms of my time in office, in terms of direct assistance to the state. Now, this last payment, you know, everybody said it was kind of dead, it couldn't happen, and we managed to pull a rabbit out of the hat because you've had three presidents and five congresses try to sell off the helium reserve, which the government should have been out of business a long time ago, and we were able to sell it off, use the money for the Secure Rural Schools program, and those checks are either there or going to be there in the next few days. And then, of course, I and Congressman DeFazio are really focused on making sure that we build a bipartisan, bicameral bill to deal with the ONC lands in the House and Senate. We have been working very closely together over these last few weeks, and I think we're really in the home stretch. And, of course, Congressman Walden, Senator Merkley, all of them have been very involved in this issue as well.
Is the bill, your bill in particular, seems to be gaining in opposition lately. At least there's been more vocal opposition of late. I mean, is it the kind of bill that if you make everybody unhappy, you know you're probably in about the right zone?
Well, I don't necessarily define writing a good bill making everybody unhappy. But I think when it comes to, you know, natural resources, there are some people, and I understand that. I think Pete DeFazio at one point said some people like their trees vertical and some people like them horizontal.
I've said that myself.
And I think we understand that, you know, some, and I can see why, are sort of allergic to the idea of compromise. But at our kickoff, when we were in the governor's office in Salem with the governor, we had prominent timber industry leaders and prominent environmentalists and scientists and environmental folks and people from all across the political spectrum who have said, look, we don't want our rural communities to become economic sacrifice zones, and we can sustainably get the harvest up, protect our treasures, and come up with a practical approach that will help meet economic needs in rural communities. Now, this is not going to meet all the needs, and I don't want anybody to walk away from, you know, that with that kind of view, but I think the forests are going to be healthier, our communities are going to be healthier, and I think Congressman DeFazio and I are in the home stretch in terms of producing a piece of legislation.
Even if you can reconcile House and Senate versions, though, and get something passed, who knows, even this year, an election year, it's still a while before cutting would begin to ramp up and provide money to the counties. So can you pull another rabbit out of the hat is the question. Is there another helium reserve bill that you can attach secure
well,
schools funding to?
As chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, we're going to have to make sure we look at all the potential, you know, opportunities. But I can tell you, Jeffrey, nobody thought I could get the bill passed in 2000. Nobody thought we could get the three extensions passed. And what I'm also looking at for the long term, I want to build a new coalition to get rural communities off this safety net roller coaster. And I want to see if we can make common cause between all the places where there's federal land and federal water. Because in virtually all these places, you have good people sitting around the table, exchanging views, talking about how they can have multiple use, how they can take steps to sustainably create jobs in their community and to protect their treasures and generate revenue. I was with Senator Landrieu in Louisiana not long ago, and I finally said, Senator Landry, the main difference between the kind of style of folks having these discussions and what we'd have in Southern Oregon is in Southern Oregon, we wouldn't have the same wonderful French Cajun dialects. But they were all the environmentalists and the industry folk people, the energy people were all sitting around trying to figure out ways to do the same kind of thing we do in Southern Oregon, which is to have jobs and resource-dependent communities and protect our treasures. So we're going to be involved on two fronts. First is getting the cut up in a sustainable kind of fashion. And we picked up good environmental support, Pacific Rivers Council, a whole bunch of folks who've been supportive on the environmental side, the scientists, Norm Johnson, Jerry Franklin, and a lot of county commissioners, Sid Lycan from Lane County, really been the point person on this. And I think we've got a good coalition.
Given, and we have about a minute left, given that you're the chair of the Finance Committee, what are the prospects for tax reform in the near future, simplification, just to make it easier to understand for taxpayers?
Jeffrey, I can only tell you, I just think that this tax code is a dysfunctional mess. It is really a rotting economic carcass. And I have written the first bipartisan federal income tax, you know, reform bill. We have a paid-for middle-class tax cut, so the tax relief is targeted to the person in the middle. We take away the tax breaks for shipping jobs overseas and use those very same dollars to hold down rates for those who create jobs here at home, what I call red, white, and blue jobs. And tax reform is going to be a priority for me.
All right. U.S. Senator Ron Wyden, Oregon Senior Senator, thank you so much for joining us once again.
Thank
on the
you.
Jefferson Exchange. Good to have you back in the studio. That'll do it for this hour of the Jefferson Exchange. We'll meet Dr. Jay Baruch in Hour 2 and talk about medicine and storytelling and how they work together. That's coming up.